paid program does not necessarily reflect the views of News Radio 830 KHVH, its staff, or management.
Now it's time for the Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. This is your weekly informative hour all about eyes. Learn about cataracts. Ask a question about glaucoma. Find out how diabetes affects your eyes. Stay tuned for an entertaining and educational program about eyes and eye care. Call in to have your questions answered by the doctor. Now, your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
Good morning, everyone. It's time once again for our regular weekly program about eyes and eye care. It's called the Hawaiian Eye Show, and it's sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better. We're going to be here for the next hour talking about glasses and bifocals, about laser beams and eye surgery. We can talk about your cataracts or your contacts, itchy eyes, droopy lids, or whatever it is that interests you. If you'd like to join in today, give us a call. Our number here is 521-8383. We'd love to hear about your experiences and answer your questions. If you can't call in today, or perhaps you're feeling a little shy, you can always email your questions to us. Our email address is eyes@hawaiianeye.com, and we can answer those questions over the air. Look us up on the web while you're online at www.hawaiianeye.com. You can also follow me on Twitter. Go to twitter.com and look for Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A, with no spaces. And on Facebook, we're at Hawaiian Eye Center. During the next hour, we'll discuss eye news from around the country and around the world. Sometimes we'll do an eye quiz to test your IQ, and we'll have a lot of fun today. Remember, all opinions expressed on this program are those of myself and the other medical doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center. That's Dr. Stephen Ree and Dr. Nancy Lundblad. I'm an ophthalmologist, or IMD, which means I'm a medical doctor specializing in the eyes. We're going to try to be very consumer-oriented today, make an effort to give you the best possible practical advice. But remember, since I can't see through the telephone, I may have to recommend an examination before I can tell you exactly what's going on in your eyes. So sit back, relax, and enjoy an hour all about eyes. Well, we like to start out the program talking about some of the things that have happened in the office in the past week, some of the questions that we've gotten, some of the things that people are curious about. And one of the things that we do more than pretty much anything else is take care of cataracts. And cataracts are a very common problem, but there are a lot of misconceptions out there about what a cataract is and how we take care of it and what's involved in treating a cataract. So let's talk a little bit about cataracts this morning. We'll talk a little bit about what causes cataracts and when you should treat them. Cataract is actually a cause of blurred vision or weaker vision. It can range in effect on the vision from very mild, minimal to mild changes in the vision to very severe loss of vision due to cataract. There are many parts of the world where cataracts are not being treated the way they are in this country, where people are blind from cataracts. In this country, there's no reason for people to go blind or to significantly lose their vision from cataract because of treatment options. So cataract is a clouding of the lens in the eye. You have to look through that lens. So when it's cloudy, that means you can't see as well. So you're looking through a cloudy lens, you're not seeing so well, and that's a cataract. When a cataract reaches the point where it blurs the vision and you can't see as well as you used to, then you ought to have that cataract treated. A cataract is treated by physically removing that cloudy lens. Okay, so now, if you have a lens in your eye that's focusing light in the back of your eye, and you take out that lens to allow more light to get into the back of the eye, the next challenge is, how do you now see well because the lens that was focusing light inside your eye is now gone? Well, it's now clear, light can get right in there, but light's not focused inside your eye now. So over the years, for the past 40 years or so, we've been using lens implants in the eye, which enable us to give people normal focus, normal vision in the eyes without having to wear very thick contact lenses or thick glasses, or contact lenses to correct for the loss of the lens in the eye. So when the cataract comes out, the new lens goes in the eye. That's part of the procedure. So a lot of people have confusion about the lens implant. They say, well, do I need a lens implant? And the answer is yes, you need a lens implant. And the reason is because without it, you're not going to see very much out of that eye. Of course, you can compensate for the absence of the lens by wearing thick glasses. And people who used to wear these big, thick, what we call aphakic spectacles, very high-power glasses, used to have all kinds of distortion of their vision from the poor from the poor focus and the fact that the lenses induce a lot of distortion because of the thickness and the high power of those lenses. And so before we had lens implants to put in the eyes, let's say 50, 60 years ago, people used to be stuck wearing really, really thick glasses after cataract surgery. Nowadays, we've kind of come a long way as far as improving the focus. Not only can we put in a lens implant that will improve the focus, make your overall vision a little bit better and mean relatively small prescription in your glasses, but nowadays for many people we can actually enhance the vision outcome so that their vision actually is better without glasses than it was prior to surgery. So first thing is the cataract is a blurry, cloudy lens, blocks your vision, makes it blurry. When it reaches the point where you're not seeing as well as you want to see or you need to see because of the things that you do, then the cataract should be treated or removed. The removal of the cataract involves taking out that cloudy lens, putting in a lens implant to focus the light in the eye. Now, everyone who has cataract surgery gets the cataract out, the new lens in. That's standard. However, some people do opt for additional work at the time of the cataract surgery to try to improve their overall vision without glasses. So for these people, we offer them a correction of other changes or other things in the eyes which might lead to the need for glasses. So why do people wear glasses? Well, there are a few reasons that people wear glasses. Either they're nearsighted, farsighted, or they have astigmatism, near, far, or astigmatism, or maybe a combination of near and astigmatism or far and astigmatism. Anyway, nearsighted, farsighted. The nearsighted, farsighted stuff can be pretty well corrected with just the standard lens implant. Astigmatism is not as well corrected or is not really corrected with a lens implant unless we use a specially designed lens implant in order to allow for correction of the astigmatism. And this type of lens implant is known as a toric lens. A toric lens is an astigmatism correcting lens because it has the astigmatism correction built into the lens implant itself. So this is something that we offer people who have significant degrees of astigmatism to improve their overall quality of vision after surgery in a way that we couldn't do with just a standard lens implant. And so because this is considered elective or cosmetic because it's only designed to reduce your need for eyeglasses, it actually is not covered by insurance, so there is additional cost associated with that. Now, that in order to use one of these special astigmatism-correcting lens implants, we need to do some special measurements on the surface of the eye to find out how much astigmatism we expect to be there after the cataract is gone, and then we want to put in a lens that will compensate for or correct that degree of astigmatism after the lens implant goes in. So a toric lens that corrects astigmatism at the time of the cataract surgery often helps to enhance people's overall vision, improve their vision so that they have better vision without glasses. Now, we've been very happy with the results of these toric lenses, these astigmatism-correcting lenses. In fact, I put one in my mother's eye. She had a cataract in one eye. We're going to do the other one in a few months. But the first eye, we took care of her cataract, and because she had significant degree of astigmatism, we put in an astigmatism-correcting or toric lens in her eye. And now she sees pretty well for certain things without glasses. Now, most people who have these astigmatism-correcting lenses end up seeing pretty well for distance, for walking around without glasses, but they do find that for reading or up close, glasses do help out. So glasses are often necessary afterwards for reading after your cataract is removed, whether or not you have the astigmatism corrected at the time of the cataract surgery. The other option for lens implants, if you don't have too much astigmatism, is to go ahead and use a lens implant that corrects both distance and close-up vision. So the distance vision and close-up vision can be corrected with what we call a presbyopia correcting lens implant. And these are the implants that allow correction for both faraway vision and close-up vision or reading vision so that most people can function for 80-90% of what they do every day with no need for eyeglasses. Some people function 100% of what they do every day with no need for eyeglasses. And so we have come a long way in the cataract surgery from having to wear a really thick, heavy spectacles that distort your vision, to being able to correct people's vision so that they no longer need eyeglasses for the vast majority of their activities. So really is a remarkable advances in this type of surgery over the past 30 years. We've definitely perfected surgical techniques as well. Now, a lot of people ask me, do you use a laser to remove a cataract? And the answer typically is no, we don't use a laser in cataract surgery. But recently that answer has changed a little bit. New lasers have been developed that actually can assist with some of the steps involved in cataract surgery. And we're going to talk about some of those lasers and how laser-assisted cataract surgery might benefit or not benefit certain people as soon as we get back from this short break.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, hawaiianeye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C-2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The Hawaiian Eye Show phone lines are now open. Give us a call at 521-8383 with your questions for the doctor. If you're calling from the neighbor islands, call us toll-free at 888-565-8383. Now, back to your host, Harvard-trained eye surgeon, Dr. Christopher Tortora.
A brown-eyed girl. You, my brown-eyed girl.
Welcome back, everyone. We're in the next segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes this morning. If you have a question about eyes, you can always give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call on a Saturday morning if you're listening to us live on the radio program on a Saturday morning. And it's actually quite interesting how many of my patients come in to the office during the course of the week, and they say, you know, I listen to you on Saturday mornings on the radio. And so I say, well, you must get all your questions answered because I don't hear you calling in. So if anyone wants to call, go ahead and give us a call, 521-8383. We were talking about the cataract surgery and how we can improve people's vision when they have cataracts, when their vision is blurred by cataracts. One of the misconceptions about cataract surgery is that you need to wait until the cataract is very advanced. Some people refer to it as ripe before you have a cataract removed. You don't have to wait for a cataract to be ripe. A cataract is not a piece of fruit. You might want to wait for your fruit to be ripe before you eat it, but you don't need to wait for a cataract to be ripe before you take it away. The time you want to take a cataract away is when you're not seeing well and the cataract is causing that reduced vision. So reduced vision due to cataract, which is not improvable otherwise, in other words, glasses don't make it better and so forth. And so at that point, removing the cataract is worthwhile. No ripe cataracts here. Right? The ripe cataract is an old term that comes from the days when cataract surgery wasn't very good. And when we removed a cataract, half the time people ended up worse instead of better after cataract surgery. Nowadays, 98% of people end up better after cataract surgery, so it's really changed. But in the old days, when you had 50-50 chance ending up better or worse, you wanted to wait until that cataract was pretty advanced before you did anything about it. And so they waited until that cataract was so cloudy that people couldn't see much of anything at all. And then they took out the cataract, and at that point, hopefully they would get some benefit from their vision. So nowadays, no ripe cataracts necessary. And the second misconception about cataracts is after cataract surgery, you have to be really careful about your activities. For most people who have cataract surgery, at least the most modern forms of cataract surgery, they can return to normal activities very quickly after surgery. Most people can go back to work within a day or two if they choose to. Most people can go back to lifting and bending and other types of activities immediately after the cataract surgery. So that's something that you should be aware of. You don't have to limit your activities. Sometimes we get people who serve as caregivers for other people who come in and say, gee, you know, I don't want to get my cataract fixed right away because I have to be turning my husband or my wife, and it's it involves some lifting. And so I'm afraid that if I have the cataract removed, I won't be able to do that anymore. And in most cases, that's not the case. It's not anything to worry about. Don't worry about activities after surgery, or at least discuss it with your doctor if you're concerned about it, because most of the time you can go back to normal activities depending on what exact procedure you have and how everything goes. But the vast majority of times we tell people to go back to their normal activities. Don't get water in your eye for a couple of weeks and don't rub your eye after surgery, but other than that, normal activities are fine. Okay, we've got a caller on the line. We've got Pame calling from Waikiki. I don't know if I said your name right. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi. This
is not the cataract, about reading the eye, like a called congested eye. The white part becomes red.
Okay, is that something that happens all the time, or that's something that...
My friend happens these days often. So by the medic eye drop, then it goes away.
Okay, well, it depends on what's causing the redness. If it's a very red, like blood red, spot on the surface of the eye, usually that's a broken blood vessel on the eye. It's what we call a conjunctival hemorrhage, and that little blood under the surface of the eye just has to be absorbed by the body, and that can't be treated with drops. Drops don't make any difference. If the redness is coming because of irritation, if something is in the eye or they're having some other kind of irritation in the eye, then that can be treated sometimes with eye drops. So best thing is that if it's not bothering her and her vision is not changing, she probably doesn't need to do anything about it at all. But if the eye is red and also uncomfortable or the vision's blurry, then she needs to get in to see an eye doctor. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck with that.
Bye.
Okay, we've got Judy standing by on the phone. Hi, Judy. Welcome to the program.
Hi. I have a thing in my eye, and people say it's a floater. It's kind of like a spider web off to the side or something.
So you see a little spot in your vision or a web. A web in your vision, and it floats around. How long has it been there?
About 3 months.
Okay, and do you see any other symptoms with your vision? Do you see any flashing lights or other kinds of shadow or cloudiness in your vision?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, it does sound like what you have is a floater. A floater is a change in the inside of the eye. The inner part of the eye is filled with a clear gel. It's called the vitreous gel, and that gel is optically clear. But as we get older, sometimes it collapses on itself and little darker areas form or little thicker areas form, which then cast a shadow on the back of our eyes. And so a floater is a very common experience, particularly over age 45 or 50 or so. And what's that? So it'll often occur in one eye, and it may occur months or years later in the other eye. If you have a floater and it's a new onset of a floater, it is worth checking that out with an eye specialist, because sometimes the development of the floater does signal something else going on inside the back of the eye. So 90% of the time it is just a normal aging change in the eye, and it's going to be there and there's nothing we can do to get rid of it, but it's worth either way checking it out, having a doctor look at the back of your eye to make sure that there are no other changes that could be a problem later on, because sometimes a new floater could mean that there's a change in the retina or tear or a little hole in the retina which could cause problems down the road if it's not treated. So I'd get it checked out. You've had it for 3 months, so it's probably not urgent, but sometime in the next couple of weeks, get an eye examination, make sure everything's okay, and then if that happens in the other eye, then I do the same thing, get an eye examination as well.
Okay, great.
Okay, good luck with that.
Thank you.
Aloha.
Okay, thanks.
So we were talking before about cataracts and cataract surgery. And I did mention that there are lasers now that can be used at the time of cataract surgery to help enhance some of the outcomes. for certain people who have certain requirements after surgery for cataract surgery. So the vast majority of cataract surgeries are done using just the ultrasound energy. We use a tiny little instrument that goes in through an incision that's about an eighth of an inch across that goes into the eye and removes the cloudy cataract. And we vacuum it out, break it up and vacuum it out with this instrument. And then we roll up or fold up a lens implant and place it inside the eye through that same tiny little opening. It unfolds in the eye and creates a new lens, a new focusing power for the eye. And most people, as a result, end up seeing better. So if under certain circumstances, when someone wants to correct their vision, reduce their need for eyeglasses, and also correct astigmatism at the same time, sometimes we can't accomplish both of those things with the standard surgery. And in those cases, using a laser can be helpful in trying to both correct the astigmatism and use a special implant to correct both distance and near vision. This can be done surgically as well, but the laser is a little bit more accurate, a little bit more reliable results, so we can correct a higher degree of astigmatism with the laser. Of course, anytime you add new technology, you also add cost, and you also the government looks at these things and says, well, most people who have cataract surgery are being paid for by Medicare, and Medicare says that if you get the standard cataract surgery, that's good enough. So they don't pay for laser or additional work or lenses at correct distance and near. So each of these things adds to the cost of the cataract surgery for the patient. Insurances, Medicare, and other insurances don't pay for this type of thing. So you end up with added cost for added technology. And so for some people, they feel that this is worthwhile if they want to perhaps reduce their dependence on eyeglasses and so on. And for other people, this is not worth the additional cost. The laser also introduces an additional step to the cataract surgery, the step that helps correct the astigmatism. Lasers can also be used to assist in several functions of cataract surgery, but you know, can't really charge for that because it's just new technology to do the same thing that we're doing with the old technology. But lasers have been used, or lasers are currently being used by some people to make incisions, which are commonly otherwise made with diamond or steel blades, or to actually soften up the cataract prior to removing it, which in most cases makes only a minor difference in the effect of the surgery. So the additional cost of the laser perhaps is not warranted yet by the technological advances that it's able to make in the vast majority of patients. So there's only probably a relatively small handful of patients who are a good candidate for this type of laser treatment and who will benefit enough from it that it's worth the additional cost associated with that type of treatment. So for my patients, I'm currently not offering the laser technology because I don't feel it offers enough of a benefit that it's worth the cost. But there are certainly several places both here and on the mainland where doctors are incorporating laser into their practices, into their cataract practices for some percentage of their patients, particularly the ones who want to be less dependent on eyeglasses after surgery and have astigmatism in their eyes, astigmatism being irregular curvature of the surface of the eye. So that is probably more effectively treated with the laser than with other types of surgical techniques. So reduce your need for eyeglasses plus astigmatism. The standard cataract surgery can correct the vast majority of people and also reduce the need for eyeglasses in the majority of people who don't have significant degrees of astigmatism. And we do that routinely to offer people the option to correct their vision, reduce their need for eyeglasses for both distance and near vision, or correct the astigmatism to reduce the need for eyeglasses for their distance vision, and then wear reading glasses to improve the vision. So cataract surgery has made great strides forward. Maybe in the future, as the technology develops, laser may be more helpful, but at the moment, we don't recommend laser-assisted cataract surgery for most of our patients. So laser is not used for cataract surgery, but nowadays there are the options for laser-assisted cataract surgery, of course, further confusing patients because everyone thinks that cataracts were done with lasers to begin with. And so now they say, well, you're not doing it with a laser. Well, what does that mean? And we said, well, we haven't done it with a laser for the past, 50 years. So we're not going to necessarily need to start right now unless there's an indication or a reason to do so. So a little information about cataract surgery, and about reducing your need for eyeglasses. Talk to your eye surgeon about specific issues that might affect you. And we're going to take a short break, listen to the news, and when we get back, we'll take some of your questions.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Their experienced surgeons have extensive cataract and general eye care experience. And they proudly welcome their newest eye surgeon, Dr. Stephen Ree. Dr. Ree brings a wealth of experience to the Hawaiian Eye Center team. To schedule an appointment with a member of the eye care team, call Hawaiian Eye Center today at 733-2020 or visit the website at hawaiianeye.com.
The news authority in Honolulu is News Radio 830 KHVH.
It's 73 degrees, partly cloudy in Honolulu. I'm Julia Norton Dennis. Here's what's happening. Radical preacher Abu Hamza al-Masri and two other terrorism suspects who fought for years to avoid facing charges in the United States have been brought to court in New York hours after being extradited from Britain. Two other men extradited with them pleaded not guilty in federal district court in Connecticut earlier in the day. For a fourth straight day today, Syria and Turkey have been trading artillery fire. There are fears the civil war in Syria could escalate into a regional conflict after a Syrian shell killed five civilians in a Turkish border town Wednesday, leading to the artillery strikes from Turkey. The University of Hawaii Board of Regents will meet behind closed doors Friday to discuss UH President Marcy Greenwood's employment. The special meeting comes a week before the regularly scheduled meeting. It's a closed session because the item is the only item on the agenda is a personnel and legal matter, which requires consultation with university lawyers. The Office of Elections and the City and County Clerks remind you that the last day for new voters to register to cast a ballot in the general election is Monday, October 8th. Completed voter registration forms must be turned in to the appropriate city-county clerk by 4:30 p.m. If you're mailing in your voter registration form, that deadline is today. Thousands of breast cancer survivors, volunteers, and community members participating in the American Cancer Society making strides against breast cancer. 5-mile walk this morning at Ford Island. It raises awareness and money for the American Cancer Society and its programs. Sunny with widespread haze, a high in the 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy and hazy with a low near 75. And tomorrow, widespread haze again. Currently, 73 degrees. I'm Julie Norton Dennis.
Hawaiian Eye Center offers you complete eye care for the entire family. Now, cataract patients can reduce or eliminate their dependence on eyeglasses with premium cataract care in as little as 15 minutes. Advanced technology lenses are designed to provide good vision for distance, near and in between, with less dependence on eyeglasses. When cataracts blur vision, a short, painless procedure helps. If you have a cataract and want back youthful vision, call Hawaiian Eye Center at 733-2020 or visit hawaiianeye.com.
The phone lines are now open at 521-8383. On the neighbor islands, it's a free call, 1-888-565-8383. And now, here's Dr. Christopher Tortora.
And it's Dr. Christopher Tortora. We're talking about eyes. This is the Hawaiian Eye Show. If you have a question about eyes, give us a call. 521-8383 is the number to call here on Oahu if you're listening on a Saturday morning. If you want to call from the neighbor islands, there is a toll-free number. Write this down. It's 1-888-565-8383. And we're happy to take your calls and try to answer your questions. And if you don't want to call us directly, you can, there are links to contact us through our website. If you go to HawaiianEye.com, the website has all kinds of interesting information, including links to a podcast of our radio program. If you want to get the show and you don't always have time to listen on a Saturday morning, you may want to listen to the podcast or listen online. Or maybe you're traveling. You can use the iHeartRadio app to listen to it live, or you can go to the HawaiianEye.com website where shows are posted, often a couple of days right after the show, and sometimes even the same day as the show in the evening. The podcasts are up and the shows are posted on the website. So check out HawaiianEye.com. A lot of interesting information as well about eyes and eye care. You can also see some of the latest things that are going on our Facebook page. You go to facebook.com/HawaiianEyeCenter, and at Hawaiian Eye Center's Facebook page, go ahead and click like so that you can be a member of our liking family on Facebook and get access to special offers. If you go to Twitter, you can follow me, twitter.com/DrTortora, DrTortora, and hear what we're tweeting about. We're going to talk a little bit about some eye news. Some of these stories may be available on Twitter. You may be able to find more information about them on Twitter. So let's talk a little bit more about some of these news stories that have come up over the past week. We have an article here about stem cells. It says Stem Cells Incorporated announces its first transplant of neural stem cells into a patient in a clinical trial for dry macular degeneration. Stem Cells Incorporated announced that the first patient in its phase 1-2 clinical trial of dry macular degeneration has been enrolled and transplanted. The trial is designed to evaluate the safety and preliminary efficacy of the company's proprietary product candidate, purified human neural stem cells, as a treatment for dry macular degeneration. The patient was transplanted with the cells when this article was written. They were transplanted in this, with the cells the day prior, so that was a few days ago. The trial signifies an exciting extension of ongoing clinical research with neural stem cells from disorders of the brain and spinal cord to now include the eye, according to Stephen Hune, MD, vice president and head of the CNS program at Stem Cells Incorporated. Studies in the relevant animal model demonstrate what the company's neural stem cells preserve vision in animals that would otherwise go blind and support the therapeutic potential of the cells to halt retinal degeneration. Unlike others in the field, we're looking to intervene early in the course of the disease with the goal of preserving future visual function before it's lost. So this whole concept, stem cells being a type of cell, a type of tissue, human tissue, that can be put in some part of the body and take the place of a part of that part of the body that's not working properly. So in the case of the eye, in macular degeneration, dry macular degeneration, the retinal neuroreceptor cells in the macula, the part of the eye responsible for the sharpest vision, are not doing their job. They're not working well to provide vision and create a new improved vision. So as a result, those stem cells are used to replace the normal non-functioning cells, because stem cells are cells that can convert into various types of tissues. And so the hope, the thought is that if you can get those cells to convert into normal seeing retinal photoreceptor cells, then they should kind of just zip in there and take the place of normal retinal cells, which are no longer working properly, and allow the patient to see centrally again. So it's an interesting concept. Another article here about a novel dry eye drug. Dry eye is a very common disease. It affects many people. It can cause problems ranging from moderate discomfort in the eyes to severe discomfort to severe blurring of the vision due to an irregular surface of the eye from dryness, and this is something that we're always looking at new things to try to treat that. It says novel dry eye drug shown to be effective. It says this prospective double-masked study randomized 286 dry eye patients to receive a single drop of 1% or 3% diquafosol or placebo ophthalmic solution 6 times a day for 6 weeks. Diquafosol is a P2Y2 receptor agonist, whatever that means, promotes secretion of aqueous tears and mucins on the ocular surface. At 4 weeks, fluorescein corneal staining scores and other measures of the surface of the eye health, and dry eye syndrome scores improved significantly with both dosages of the diclofosol compared with placebo. Okay, interesting. They also found that another study found a similar benefit with benefit from this particular medication, this particular drug, on the surface of the eye. So the goal is we want to improve the health of the surface of the eye, which both improves vision, quality of vision, and also improves comfort of the eyes due to dryness. We've got another story that talks about a gene linking cataracts and Alzheimer's disease. It says here that using in the Framingham offspring eye study cohort, researchers looked at brain MRI findings 10 years from the original eye examination. There's a significant correlation between cortical cataracts and several signs of Alzheimer's disease-related progression, especially what they call temporal horn volume, a brain structure that becomes enlarged in Alzheimer's disease. A subsequent genome-wide association of the study identified three particular genes that seemed to be create a link between cataracts and Alzheimer's disease. So this particular study showed that there was a particular genetic situation or a certain gene that some people have that increased their risk not only for cataracts but also for Alzheimer's disease. So that doesn't mean if you have cataract you have a higher risk for Alzheimer's disease, but if you have this particular gene, you have a higher risk both for cataract and Alzheimer's disease. Let's talk about genetic traits for a minute, because it's something that is actually quite interesting. It's something that's becoming more and more popular in the medical field in terms of being able to find out more about genetics and give people more information about their genetic makeup for a more reasonable cost. You know, it used to be that if you wanted to find out all the genes that someone has, you have to do something called sequencing their genome. And sequencing the genome means using certain laboratory techniques to take the DNA of a given individual, a given person, in this case a human being. They can do it with animals too. But take the genes, the genetic material from a human being, all their DNA, and figure out all of the different protein sequences that go into that DNA that give you the genes that are necessary to create all of the proteins that allow our life to be what it is, us to be alive as we are, and also allows us to have the traits or the characteristics that we have. And so sequencing the genome used to be something that would take weeks and weeks and weeks to do, and it took tens of thousands of dollars to do it. And now the technology has improved such that genome sequencing can be done within a few hours now, and the cost has come way down to just a few thousand dollars, which still is significant, but it's a lot less than it used to be. So the idea of now sequencing people's genes, finding out all of the genes that they have, is becoming a much more practical possibility. And so once we know all of the genes that someone has, the question is then what do we do with that information? We may know that certain genes have a tendency to create certain types of problems in the eyes or in the other parts of the body, but we don't necessarily know what we're going to do about it other than to watch more carefully to see if someone develops some kind of a problem. So, for example, if someone has a gene that predisposes them to a certain type of cancer, do you, as a preventative measure, remove a certain organ of the body that may not be essential all the time in order to prevent cancer from developing, for example? And so these are difficult questions that we're going to have to answer in coming years. But the idea is that we're learning more and more about what genes cause what types of problems. And of course, in the human genome, there are many, many variations of genes that different people have different genes. You know, there's no two individuals that are exactly alike genetically, except if they're identical twins. And even identical twins don't always end up having the same health history throughout their lives. And so even your genetics, your DNA, doesn't always determine everything that's going to happen to you. There are things that are environmental as well. And so if we know from someone's DNA that they have a tendency toward one disease or another, what are we going to do about it? And so all the information that we have that tells us more about different links between different genes and different types of problems gives us more information so that if we sequence someone's whole genetic footprint, we have an idea of what types of problems they might be more likely to have. But of course, our information about what problems are associated with what genes are still relatively limited as well. So it is an evolving technology, but it's something that definitely is quite interesting. Let's see, more news stories here. We have a news story here about the nutrients, lutein and zeaxanthin, and how these might improve retinal function in early macular degeneration. It says this randomized, double-masked, placebo-controlled trial examined the effects of lutein and zeaxanthin supplementation on retinal function using multifocal electroretinograms in 108 early macular degeneration patients. After 48 weeks, there was a significant increase in response densities in the central retina associated with early retinal function abnormalities. This improvement was positively associated with elevation of macular pigment optical density, and these findings provide evidence that lutein and zeaxanthin may reverse retinal function impairment and prevent AMD or macular degeneration progression. So that's good news for people who have been taking these supplements, lutein, or multivitamins with lutein. It does look like it may have some benefit on the function of the macula of the back of the eye. And in fact, many of the supplements now that are designed to help reduce the risk of macular degeneration over time do contain lutein at this point as well, because there has been some circumstantial evidence that it is helpful in the prevention of changes in the eyes related to macular degeneration over time, or at least certain forms of macular degeneration. So that's an interesting study that adds to our information about that. Okay, let's take a break, and when we get back, we're going to talk about a little bit more news, and of course, you'll have the opportunity to reach us if you want to give us a call.
If you need the personal attention of Dr. Tortora or one of the other doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, visit their offices in Central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. Call for your appointment. The number on Oahu is 733-2020. That spells C-2020. From the neighbor islands, call toll-free 1-888-621-2020.
With the latest technology, cataract care is often a fast, painless procedure with a rapid return to normal vision and normal activities.
It doesn't hurt. It just takes, 15, 20 minutes the most, and you're out. That's it.
We strive to make your procedure safe and painless. Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
The phone lines are open at 521-8383. And from the neighbor islands, 1-888-565-8383. Now, back to Dr. Christopher Tortora, our host of the Hawaiian Eye Show.
Can you see me now? Hawaiian eyes, can you see me now?
Okay, welcome back. Here we are in the last segment of the Hawaiian Eye Show for this Saturday, and I hope you're enjoying the show. If you do have a question that you'd like us to answer on the air, now's a perfect time to call. 521-8383 is the number to call. We've got less than 10 minutes left of the program, so if you have something that you'd like to have answered, give us a call. 521-8383 from the Oahu, and from the neighbor islands, it's 1-888-565-8383. I'd like to just mention that this is Dr. Christopher Tortora. I work with a couple of other doctors at the Hawaiian Eye Center, Dr. Stephen Ree, who sometimes you'll hear here on this program, and sometimes he'll host the program. Sometimes he'll call in with some information for us. And Dr. Nancy Lundblad, who's based on the Big Island in Hilo in our office over there. Dr. Ree sees patients both in the Hilo office and here on Oahu. Dr. Ree has training in what we call cornea and anterior segment, meaning that he's a specialist in conditions that affect the front surface of the eye, and of course does all general eye care as well. I do general eye care as well and have a specialty certification in glaucoma, which is a very common condition affecting older people and affecting the eyes over time with a loss of vision if it's not treated. Glaucoma is a kind of a sneaky condition. It sneaks up on you without any signs or symptoms in many cases, so it is something that people who are at risk for glaucoma ought to be checked for on a regular basis. And how do you know if you're at risk for glaucoma? Well, if you're over age 60, you're at risk for glaucoma. You should be getting an eye checkup every year. If you have a family history of glaucoma, a parent, mother, father, sibling who has glaucoma, that increases your odds of glaucoma. You should be getting your eye examined every year over age 40 or so. If you are African or Hispanic ancestry, then your risk for glaucoma may be a little bit higher, and you want to make sure to get your eyes examined every year or two, depending on your age. So all of those things are important indications of for who should get their eyes examined on a regular basis, and we should all probably get our eyes examined fairly regularly, but as we're younger, fewer things tend to affect the eye. So if you're seeing well and you're younger, you don't need to have an eye examination as frequently. If you need glasses, every couple of years is a good idea, because then we can see if the glasses need to change. And by the time you're 60 years old, you probably need an eye examination every year, because that's going to help reduce the chance that problems will develop that we could detect otherwise and treat early on. Other people who need frequent eye examinations are diabetics. People with diabetes definitely need their eyes examined on an annual basis. Diabetes is a leading cause of blindness in this country today in the U.S., and diabetes is a cause also, it should be noted, of preventable blindness. And so people who go blind from diabetes don't need to go blind in most cases from the diabetes, and if they were caught early and treated, could have prevented serious problems in the eyes. And so diabetes is a treatable disease. Diabetic eye conditions are treatable in most cases. So if you're a diabetic or you know someone who's diabetic, for goodness sakes, make sure they get in to see their eye specialist on a regular basis. Okay, we're going to go to the phones. We've got Jeannie standing by in Eva Beach. Hi, Jeannie. Welcome to the program.
Hi, Dr. Tortora. I've enjoyed your program a lot. I've been listening to your program on Saturdays. I just tuned in on the tail end of something you mentioned called lutein. I have several problems with my eyes, but you mentioned something called the dicofasol or something like that, plus the placebo for a dry eye syndrome.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And also, you also mentioned something called a supplement, lutein, and it might be related to retinal problems. You know, I've had glaucoma for many, many years, and I've had surgery for glaucoma twice. I've had what is that other thing where you have your, you have surgery, not glaucoma, but
cataract, probably cataract.
Cataract. I've had those removed also. Also, but now my my eye, because of the dry eye syndrome, it's watering excessively, and I've been referred to a retina specialist over at Straub now. He's just recommended something called Refresh Optive. I use those as needed, but, you know, it doesn't seem to be getting any better. I've lost my peripheral vision. This is some years ago, and now I can barely see anything. I have good days, but very, very seldom. And everything is very, very blurry. I never see anything very clearly. But what can you tell me about this thing you just mentioned? I just happened to catch it just at the tail end of what you mentioned, this dicofasol or whatever it is.
Sure. Well, this is an experimental medication that's in trials for dry eyes. It doesn't sound like this is the type of dry eye that medication that would help you, even if it were available, which it's not available, because tearing usually is a sign of one type of dry eyes, and this medication actually is designed to increase the amount of tear production. So you don't need more tears because you have a lot of tears already. Now, there are a lot of different things that can cause dry eyes and a number of different things that can be used to treat them. Some types of dry eyes are more troublesome or more annoying than others, and certain forms of certain people who get tearing. It's not from dryness of the eyes, but there are other problems that cause that.
What causes that?
So, well, without examining your eyes, you know, I really can't tell. There are a number of different causes. So, so basically what you need to do is you need to make sure when you go in to see your doctor, not the retina specialist, because they're worried about something else. But when you go in to see your general doctor, tell them, you know, this tearing is really bothering me. It's really annoying for me. And is there anything else I can do about it? Can you look more closely to make sure there's not something else causing this tearing that is causing me to be so uncomfortable? So if that tearing is a big issue for you, then you ought to ask about that. You know, the other things, it sounds like you've got a lot of difficult problems with your eyes, the glaucoma, the retinal problems, you know, all of those things are challenges. And the main thing is just to ask, you know, you follow the doctor's instructions, but also ask them questions if you're not sure. Say, are there any new treatments that might benefit me? What specifically is the diagnosis that I have so that you know, I can go and research it if you want to. But that, you know, and that's my only, the only thing I can suggest. And if you're not getting answers from your doctor, you know, ask them, you know, can you go and seek out a second opinion? Is there, or even just go out, you don't have to ask them. You can go get a second opinion and say, you know, why are these things bothering me so much? So, those are all options for you. But over the phone, there's very little I can do for you because it sounds like you have so many different, eye problems. It's hard to know how they all interact and interrelate and so forth.
Okay, well, I think I'll give it some thought and maybe give you a call to come in and see you. You're over in Waianae, aren't you?
Right, so I'm not too far from Eva Beach, so you can come if you like.
And you're open, what, Monday through Fridays? Or are you open on Saturdays, too?
Yeah, we have some Saturday hours as well, so you can call the office. If you listen for a few more minutes, you'll hear the number given out over the phone. Okay?
Bye. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks for your call. Aloha.
Okay, bye-bye.
There are a lot of people who have just a whole combination of things going on in their eyes, and a lot of times when they come in and they say, we have this problem and this problem and this problem, it's very difficult for us to address all of the problems at once, so we need to sort of isolate what are the ones that give them the most trouble and then sort of get them information and possibly, you know, treatment or options as far as treatment goes about those particular problems. And so I think one of the things that's interesting about practicing medicine for me is the art of being able to really focus on what the patient's concerns are as well as what the doctor's concerns are, because we'll look at someone's eyes, or a cardiologist will look at your heart, or your, you know, a doctor will look at the problems that he sees or she sees in your body and focus on the things that they feel are most critical, but those aren't always the things that are most bothersome to you. And if the doctor tells you, here, you have to do this and this and this, and it doesn't make your symptoms any better, you may not be that happy with the treatment, even if it is the right thing to do for the particular problem that you have. Well, we've been here for an hour now talking about eyes and eye care, and I've certainly had a lot of fun, and I hope you have too. I'd like to thank Stephen and MJ for helping out here in the studio, and I'd like to say thanks to all your listeners for making this show work through your calls and through your email. If you enjoyed our program today, tell your friends about us. And if you learned something, you can always listen again next week, or you can listen to our podcasts or our online streaming programs at www.hawaiianeye.com. If you have a question, you can email it to us, eyes@hawaiianeye.com. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/Dr. Tortora, D-R-T-O-R-T-O-R-A. It's sure been a pleasure talking with you. I'll keep my eyes peeled for you, and I hope you'll keep an eye out for us. Hawaiian Eye Show is sponsored by Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with offices in central Oahu and in Hilo on the Big Island. You're listening to Dr. Christopher Tortora. Thanks so much for listening, and aloha.
You've been listening to The Hawaiian Eye Show, sponsored by the Hawaiian Eye Center, where life has never looked better, with Harvard-trained eye surgeon Dr. Christopher Tortora. If you have an eye problem, want to get a second opinion, or aren't seeing as well as you used to, make an appointment with Dr. Tortora or one of the doctors of the Hawaiian Eye Center in Central Oahu or Hilo by calling C-2020. That's 733-2020. Until next week, here's looking at you.
When you have a cataract, your vision gets gradually worse over time. You don't see as well.
Having the corrective surgery and now having the vision of a much younger man, I can see again.
Our state-of-the-art surgery center offers safety and convenience without a hospital stay.
Visit our website and learn what's involved in a cataract procedure. You'll be surprised how easy it can be.
Take a virtual tour of a cataract procedure at their website, HawaiianEye.com. To make an appointment, call Hawaiian Eye Center at C2020. That's 733-2020. Or from the neighbor islands, call 888-621-2020.
Glenn Beck.
Sending you a message.
Weekdays at 4.
It's all going to be good.
KHVH Honolulu.
I'm here.
Hawaii's home for Fox News.